Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's good to have you with me on this Thursday. Thanks for joining me today. We have had a marvelous week listening to Derek Prince teach about being born of God. He's been talking about who Jesus is. He's been talking about how we encounter him, the changes he makes in our life, what happens when people encounter him, what it was like in the first century, what it's like today. And today he's going to talk to us about a relationship with God. I mean, let's pause and consider those words. What an astonishing thought that we can have a relationship with the living God, with the one who spoke the worlds into being. But you know what? That's exactly what Jesus came to give us. And to believe in Jesus is to believe in the possibility of a relationship with the living God. Now, if you've missed any of this, log on to the website and you can listen to these teachings as often as you want until they take form in your heart. But let's get to it. Derek going to teach us today about the vine and the branches, one of the great truths of the New Testament. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us comprehend.
One of the great problems that we all have in apprehending spiritual truth is that we are tied to our senses. For most of us, the only things that are real are the things that we can see and hear and feel and so on. That is, the things that we apprehend by our five physical senses. But paradoxically, these are not the real things. The things which are truly real and truly important are spiritual, and they are not apprehended by the senses. Listen to what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, that's a paradox for natural man. What is seen, what we receive through our senses, is temporary, it's transient, it's not permanent. But what is unseen is eternal. It's that alone which is truly real. You see, in a parable, the material and the familiar becomes a kind of mirror reflecting the spiritual and the unfamiliar. In a parable, Jesus speaks about things that were very familiar to his hearers, things that they had seen and heard and touched many times. But in speaking about those things, he used them as a mirror to reflect the things that they could not apprehend by their senses. So in a parable, there is usually a fairly definite set of correspondences, something in the familiar corresponds to something in the unfamiliar. Something in the seen corresponds to something in the unseen. In this way, Jesus led his hearers from the known and the familiar to the unknown and unfamiliar, which is one of the great principles of good teaching. Now, with this in mind, let's turn to this particular parable we're going to be dealing with this week, the parable of the vine and the branches. Here is the actual parable as Jesus related it. In John 15, verses 1 through 8, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Out of that picture there, one great and important basic truth emerges. The truth is this, that Christianity is primarily a relationship involving God and man. Without that relationship, all the doctrine in the world will do us very little good. Let me say this: theology and doctrine is correct only if it produces the right fruit. I want you to see that it represents, even in those simple words, that familiar picture, it represents the total nature of the Godhead. And when I say the Godhead, that's a kind of technical phrase in the New Testament for all that which is truly God. So in this picture of the vine and the branches, we have a representation of all that is truly God. And in the New Testament, God is revealed as one God, but three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in this picture of the vine, we see a picture of all three persons. I wonder if you picked them out while I was reading the parable. Let's begin now and see what are the things that correspond to each person of the Godhead. Let's begin with the vine. Jesus says, "I am the vine." So that's very specific. He's kind of given us a point of orientation in interpreting the whole picture. Jesus himself is the vine. Now in the vine, to make it living and fruitful, there has to be the sap which flows up from the roots through the trunk and into the branches. Unless the sap reaches the branches, they wither and are unfruitful. So the key to the whole life of the vine is the sap. Now the sap is a picture of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:10, Paul says, "The Spirit," capital S, "the Holy Spirit is life." This is what he actually says, the whole verse. "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We experienced Christ's death because of our sins, but having experienced his death, we enter into his life because of his righteousness imputed to us through faith. And having his righteousness, we partake of his life. We partake of the life that flows from the roots through the trunk of the vine and into the branches. And Paul says in Romans 8:10, that life is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is life. And then we have what is called in the translation I read, the gardener. But actually, the Greek word is normally used of a farmer. The problem is that in English, we don't think of a farmer often dealing with vines. But the Greek word covers anyone who owns land and produces crops or has flocks or herds, who is the not only the farmer, but the owner. Of course, that's God the Father, the one who owns it all. And we'll see that he has a very special part in the life of this vine. Later this week, I'll be explaining that he's the one who does the pruning. Then we're left with one other major element in this picture, which is the branches. Again, Jesus has interpreted that for us. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." You, his disciples, his followers. So we could say that true disciples, or real Christians, whatever phrase you want to use, are the branches that are in the vine. And the essence of the message is, as long as we branches remain in the vine, we have the life of the vine, and we bring forth fruit, and we please God. But if ever we lose our contact or our association with the vine, if we become separated from it, then we lose the life, we die, and the ultimate end of that is to be burned.
Derek has given us such an important key to having a relationship with God. We're used to all of our relationships in this world being through our senses. But Derek says God lives in an unseen realm. He's an unseen God. And to know him means that we have to have a relationship with him in an unseen way, which means by the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful and transforming truth, and it frees us from the need to see and to know through our senses. Listen, we have a special gift for you. It's called Extravagant Love. It's a booklet we want to make available to you free of charge, postage paid. You can get it by logging on the website at derekprince.org, and we'll be able to make this wonderful booklet available to you about God's love and his work in your life. By the way, while you're on the website, you'll be able to watch some video clips of Derek teaching subjects very much like what we're talking about today. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away,
It's time for change. A complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know Him and why His sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us today. We're learning a great deal about what it means to abide in Jesus, that Jesus is the vine, that the Holy Spirit is the sustenance, the life that comes from that vine. We're learning really what it means to have a relationship with God. And we're just about to learn what kind of fruit that being on the vine of Jesus produces in our lives. Let's listen.
Now, in my talk today, I'm going to deal with the vital question, what does God expect from us as branches in the vine? What is the evidence that we really do have this kind of relationship with Him? And we can answer that question in one short word, the word fruit. Fruit is the issue. Fruit is the evidence. Fruit is what God requires. And this fruit is developed in three stages. First of all, Jesus talks about fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, in verse 2 of that chapter. Then he goes on in the same verse to speak about more fruit. The Father trims it clean that it may bear more fruit. And then a little further on, he says in verse 5, if any man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. So there is a very clear, simple progression. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's the life in Christ. We start by bearing fruit. As God trims us clean, we bear more fruit. As we continue to abide in Him, we bear much fruit. But the issue is always that short, simple word, fruit. The only alternative is no fruit. Jesus says in verse 2, He, the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And He tells us what happens to the branches that bear no fruit. In verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So the end of the unfruitful branch that withers is to be burned. That's a very clear and a fearful picture. You see, God's requirement of fruit is a central theme of the New Testament. When John the Baptist came to introduce this new period of God's dealings, the new covenant. In his introductory explanation to the men of his time, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, he said this, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the same principle. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Notice that it's not sufficient to be able to say, well, I don't produce bad fruit. That doesn't satisfy God. God says, I require good fruit. You may be the kind of tree that doesn't have any fruit at all, but that will not get you by with God. God demands fruit, good fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So God's requirement is fruit. Let's consider for a moment what is involved in fruit. What is fruit? To come away from the parable to the reality, when God says He's looking for fruit, what is He actually looking for in our lives? I want to suggest to you that there are two main forms of fruit which are pictured in the New Testament. The first is the fruit of character. The second is the fruit of other believers brought to the Lord through our lives. So those are the two basic types of fruit that God requires. First of all, the fruit of character, and secondly, the fruit of other believers brought to God through our lives. Let's look at God's requirements of character for a moment. The character that God requires in us can be summed up in one simple, beautiful word, the word love. Love is ultimately what God requires and demands in us. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, love one another." Moses had given the Ten Commandments. Judaism today has 613 commandments. Jesus says, "I'll sum it up all in one new commandment, love one another." And he sets us the standard of love, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." If we are in the vine, then the kind of love Jesus has will flow out of him into us. We will love one another as he loved us. Again, in that same 15th chapter of John we've been looking at, he says a little further on, after the parable of the vine and the branches, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Notice, love is not an option. It's a command. If we don't love, we are disobedient. We are not bringing forth the fruit that God required. Now, love is further unfolded in the epistles, and it's shown to us in seven specific forms called the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul unfolds what is the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit is the sap, the life that flows from the trunk into the branches. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice, love always comes first. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Really, those are all different manifestations of love. You can say they are nine different forms of the one fruit of love. Let me list them again, and as you hear them, just check on yourself whether you are really bringing forth that kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that's the kind of character that God requires in us as being fruitful branches in the vine.
You know, it strikes me that if you're part of a vine, that bearing fruit really isn't that difficult. It just simply grows. Maybe that's the way our spiritual lives are meant to be if we abide on the vine of Jesus. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is, you are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now, 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you. Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hey, if you're a believer, have you ever wondered if you're really bearing fruit? Well, one of the ways you can know is whether people are coming to Jesus through your life. And Derek's about to teach us about this very thing. Let's listen.
Now let's look at the other aspect of fruit. Other believers, one to the Lord through our lives. And remember, we're talking in terms of a tree, the vine. One very significant fact is that from creation onwards, God has ordained that trees shall produce seed only in their fruit. Therefore, if a tree does not produce fruit, it does not produce seed. If a tree does not produce seed, it will not reproduce itself. So the essential requirement for a tree to reproduce itself is to produce fruit which has in it the seed that will produce another tree. This is stated in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12, where it speaks about the process of creation. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. Notice, right from creation onwards, trees bear fruit with seed in it, so that the possibility of a tree reproducing itself always depends on its producing fruit with the seed in it. And then there's a very forceful proverb in Proverbs 11, verse 30, which drives this lesson home. The proverb says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That's the same principle. The fruit with the seed in it becomes another tree, because when the seed drops into the ground and takes root and grows up, another tree, like the first tree that produced the fruit, grows up. And then the writer of Proverbs interprets it this way: he who wins souls is wise. In other words, if we are fruit-bearing, we'll produce seed, and the seed in turn will produce another tree, another believer like ourselves. So that's what God looks for as fruit in our lives. First, the fruit of character. Second, the fruit of other believers brought to the Lord through our lives.
You know, there's a powerful quote from this last bit of teaching that I need to reemphasize with you. Derek said the whole issue of the Christian life is one of relationship, not doctrine and not theology. Now, we absolutely believe in the importance of theology. The Bible urges us to watch our life and doctrine closely. And so we believe in the importance of systematic theology and biblical theology and understanding the connective tissue of Christian truth. But I also want to say to you that you can have good theology and have no relationship. And if you have no relationship, you'll have no character, you'll have no fruit. And we all know, maybe from our own lives and probably from the lives of those we've been around, situations where people have good theology, but very little character. Good theology, but very little fruit. And you know what? It's time for us to come home to the reality of a relationship with Jesus. That's where the supernatural flow comes from. That's where the satisfaction of our hearts comes from. You know, as I watch believers today, I'm sometimes amazed at what they'll do with the moral crashes and the drugs, the alcohol, the other things that sometimes happen, and of course that have filled our headlines of late. You know what that is? That's a person with an unfulfilled soul. If a person is following Jesus, is a Christian, and yet is drinking themselves into a stupor or doing drugs or has some hidden sexual habit, that's a person whose soul is not being filled by the person of Jesus. That's what God wants for you. That's what we're praying for. Listen, you can log on to our website to watch a marvelous video of Derek teaching very much along these lines. I think you'll find that fascinating. And there's also a great gift for you that Derek Prince Ministries wants to make available free of charge. It's called Extravagant Love. And again, you can get that sent to you as you log on to the website. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.